Welcome to the Resonant Life Podcast. I'm Dr. Layla Doolittle, and I am so glad you're here. This podcast is a journey into the heart of functional health, where we will explore how to create a life filled with optimal wellness, vitality, and resonance. Each episode, we'll dive into a variety of topics designed to inspire and empower you, from practical health strategies to insightful conversations with experts. Our goal is to provide you with the tools and knowledge you need to live a life unburdened by health limitations. Together, we'll uncover ways to align with your true self, embrace your passions, and create a life that fills and reflects your deepest values. So whether you're seeking to optimize your health or simply looking for inspiration, you are in the right place. Let's embark on this journey of resonance and transformation together. I am so excited today to host Kyle Horpert on our podcast, The Resonant Life. Kyle is the founder of Toxic Roots, and he has a remarkable story of resilience, turning his battle with mercury poisoning into a powerful mission to guide others towards optimal health. His personal health challenges, combined with his academic research and practical experience, have equipped him with a deep understanding of detoxification and holistic wellness. At Toxic Roots, Kyle uses his expertise to help individuals navigate the complexities of heavy metal detoxification, mold issues, hormonal optimization, and mental performance enhancement. His goal is to positively impact the lives of 1 million people by providing comprehensive, tailored wellness strategies. Kyle is a certified wellness coach, nutrition coach, and personal trainer through the National Academy of Sports Medicine. His holistic approach, grounded in personal experience and professional qualifications, allows him to offer invaluable insights into how to safely and effectively rid the body of toxins and address mold-related health concerns.
Tell us a little bit about healthy homes and how to create a safe haven that we can trust, in an environment that we can stay in a wellness level once we're able to actually get there.
Okay, so we're talking about bunkers today. Yeah, this is not, what's his name, Facebook guy. You can create a bunker.
No.
Like a fallout shelter. Yeah.
Wow,
it's like
really?
A multi-million dollar bunker.
What does he know that we don't know?
Anyway, you don't need one of those. To be healthy, at least. I don't know about nuclear fallout or anything like that. But, yeah, so my background, you know, I wasn't always in health. Mm-hmm. I actually grew up in a family business in construction.
Yes.
And that kind of came to a head together when I got sick and I dove into how to build houses in a way that is healthy.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of things to consider, and you can go so far down the rabbit hole in this.
Yes.
You can have a space that's like a, what is that show? A Boy Who Lived in a Plastic Bubble.
Oh, right. Yeah.
I don't believe in that approach because it's expensive.
Mm-hmm.
So the way I approach it is, like, what are the things that are going to get you 80% of the way to a healthy home?
Yes.
For the least amount of cost.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. And so we have a few things that I like to focus on. The number one is air quality.
Mm-hmm.
Indoor air quality is so important.
Yes.
And so air quality has a few things you need to look for. Maybe carbon dioxide. Mm-hmm. So you don't want to be breathing other people's air all the time. So you need some fresh air intake.
Mm-hmm.
You have your humidity levels,
mm-hmm.
and then you have your pollutants.
Mm, that's a big one.
Yeah. And so they can be addressed in a number of different ways. I prefer systems that incorporate the entire house.
Mm-hmm.
Not everybody can do that. So, like, what I like to do, if optimally, like if I have the budget to do it, I like to install a whole house filtration system,
mm-hmm.
that's in the central AC system.
Mm-hmm.
That's HEPA plus,
yes.
So greater than HEPA,
mm-hmm.
so MERV 17 or 18.
Yeah.
That will filter out basically all of the pollutants, mm-hmm. in the air.
Wow.
Down to very, very small sizes.
Mm-hmm.
Before it gets to that filter or the air handler, you could do it after if you wanted, but before it gets to the air handler,
mm-hmm.
I run the HVAC system through a dehumidification system.
Okay.
Because when it hits the air handler, air is cooled by basically causing condensation.
Mm-hmm.
And so we want that air to be as dry,
mm-hmm.
and as pure as possible when it hits your air condenser, mm-hmm. your air handler, in order to provide clean air to the house.
Mm-hmm.
So if it's not clean or it's not dry, mold will grow in your air handler.
Yes.
And then you are just spewing mold all throughout your house.
Constantly.
Yeah.
That's something many people have the underlying root causes for their health issues.
So the beauty of this is most people have central AC, and you can hook up a system like this. You can probably pay an HVAC guy $500 to do it, to actually hook it in. And the components themselves cost probably about $3,000-$4,000 for the dehumidification and the air filtration.
Right.
So that's like optimal. That's where I would start. If you wanted to add fun things on, like an ionizer, things like that, you could also stick those in there. I like those too. So if you wanted to stack it, they should get everything. That's probably the optimal protocol for air filtration with the fresh air intake.
Yes.
So
that's amazing.
Thoughts on that?
Yeah, I absolutely appreciate that so much. And I love that it is able to clear those environmental toxins as well as the all the toxins from mold, mycotoxins, biotoxins, especially whenever we have so many levels and so many layers of those toxicities that are can be harbored within the HVAC system or within the home itself and can be walls, the floors, and the ceilings, and people don't realize that it can be all around them. And if they go into have something come in and do mediation, they may be only looking at one of those sources, whereas they have to look at every single one.
Well, this is very important. People who do remediations generally don't care about toxins. They care about water damage things. They just like cut it out and get it out. They don't think about the air quality a lot of times.
Right.
They don't think about the mold that started growing or how to get rid of those mycotoxins that are in the air.
Yeah.
They don't think about those things.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty important to, if you have water damage, significant water damage, you want to work with a professional who knows about the health side of remediation.
Yes.
And they're very far in between.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how it is in Texas, but in Florida, home remediation guys are like really sketchy.
Yes, they are.
Like it's like out of 100, you might have like two good ones.
Right.
So if you do have water damage, I would actually the optimal thing, kind of like I mentioned on one of our previous podcasts, is if you or I think we were just talking, if you find a contractor that will just do what you tell them to do, hire a consultant who knows what to do from a like construction health standpoint.
Yes.
And then take that knowledge, and then they can actually just carry it out. That's probably the most efficient way.
Yeah, that makes sense. And then that's where the consulting comes in, too, to help have somebody help that standard and the guidelines. And so what I've oftentimes seen is maybe the contractor is all about helping and supporting as much as possible, but the limit is knowledge. It's very difficult to get past that those limitations. And oftentimes it's just you only know so much about a certain thing in a specific like perspective. And so with contractors, they know what they've been taught, but who is going to take you to that next level, to that next layer of just the perspective of the guidelines? Like how do we create those check marks for them? So do you do consulting in this to help contractors be held to that standard? And is that something that
that's something I like to do. So I don't work on remediation too much. I'll work on some building a new home. That's where I like to help.
Yeah, definitely.
Definitely the systems, how we set it up, you know, mold-free drywall.
Yes.
You can get mold-free drywall for probably like 15, 20% more.
Mm-hmm.
It's really not going to cost you a few $1,000s more to have your whole house done in mold-free drywall.
Right.
If you ever get a leak,
mm-hmm.
there's going to be a much lower percent chance of mold actually growing on that drywall. Mold loves drywall.
Mm-hmm.
It's gypsum. Covered in paper, and mold absolutely loves
paper.
Very
porous.
Yep.
Easy to get in bed.
So mold can only grow on surfaces that are organic.
Yes.
So if it's inorganic, mold can't grow on it. So like concrete, for example, is inorganic. Mold can't grow on it. Right. But if there's a layer of dirt and grime, that's an organic layer that mold can grow on.
Yes.
So cleanliness is also important.
Mm-hmm.
I did want to touch back on the dehumidification.
Yes.
So if you search online, it'll say, you know, the optimal range for humans to live in is somewhere between 45 and 60% of those humidity.
Yes.
People don't realize is that mold can grow, certain species of mold can grow in a relative humidity of 50 and higher.
Yeah.
So if at all possible, try to keep your house under 50.
Mm-hmm.
So 45 is kind of that sweet spot.
Yes.
40, 45. I err on the side of caution, so I go 40.
Mm-hmm.
That way, if I'm taking a hot shower,
steaming
up the room, then I have the house so it equalizes itself pretty fast.
That's you're able to create that environment.
Mm-hmm.
And then for those that don't have the house equalizing itself, then if they don't have all those same systems, then a very low cost thing we could do is at least in those areas of higher humidity, have the dehumidifier in their actual bathroom, make sure the fans are on, make sure that they know where the fans are going, where it's circulating to. Is it getting pushed out of the house or is it just circulating through the system?
That's very important. So I think it's code now.
Yeah.
I don't think it was code years ago where the vents actually had to be vented to the outside of the house. But so at older houses, I think you could vent it back into the AC system or vent it back into the attic, which is not great. But when you're showering, I kick on both my fans. So usually bathrooms now have a fan by the shower and a fan in the toilet room, a master bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
If you have one or two, kick them both on.
Yes.
And then people often don't realize how long you have to run those suckers.
Yeah, you don't really know.
You need it. So like, I shower at night because I don't like to go to bed covered in whatever pollen, dog hair, or whatever.
Or mold.
Yeah, whatever it might be. So I like to be as clean as possible before I go to bed. So when we after the shower, take our showers, we turn on the fans while we're showering. We just go to bed.
Right.
We turn them off in the morning. So that way it clears the entire bathroom and it's really nice and dry, equalized by the time we wake up.
I love that. Same here, and I think of it like a sound machine. It's just a sound machine around in the next room, so I hope I hear it while I'm sleeping. And that is convenient too, because whenever you are showering, that is harboring the possibility. So much humidity, so much mold, and then when you're sitting in that hot bath, so if somebody's sitting there for an hour, that's part of their routine, they could be just breathing in mold toxins constantly. And that is something we can see visible signs of, like some of that aspergillus or the fungal growth on showers, like the pink mold that grows. And people don't think much about it, they'll just spritz it down with some cleaning solutions and then just wipe it off. But if that's harbored in the shower itself, then obviously where else is it? It's in the bathroom. Oftentimes people don't clean in their sinks enough. They don't look into the cupboards and actually, you know, create air circulation, and they don't make sure that they're wiping all those dust particles in the skin. That's just so many opportunities for those molds to grow as well.
Well, that leads me kind of to the next point, and that's cleanliness.
Mm-hmm.
Cleanliness is probably the most important thing you can do to keep your house safe.
Yes.
So if you routinely clean, if you routinely keep it dusted, you routinely clean the showers, clean all the wet areas, make sure you're looking under your sink, making sure there's no leaks, cleaning thoroughly, that will get you a large percentage of the way there. And people don't realize the amount of cleaning it takes to actually keep the house very clean.
Yes.
It's a lot.
Yes, it is.
It is quite a bit.
Into the nooks and crannies.
Yeah.
Those corners where the mold likes to be against the baseboards.
And if you don't want to hire, a cleaning service, or if you do hire a cleaning service, make sure they come in with your vacuums and use your cleaning stuff. Because a lot of times, you don't know if they just came from a mold den with their own vacuum, and now they're going to empty that vacuum in your trash.
Oh, gosh.
And they've just spread mold toxins in your house.
I'm just picturing the dust cloud of biotoxins going down.
So you never
That's
know.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
Right. And then, of course, you go into the environmental toxins that you're beginning with. And that's super important.
Yep.
You know, most of my practice members have a very toxic-free life style at home. And in their cleaning crews that do come in, they make sure that they're using their products as well. But let's talk about how these super biotoxins are forming. Like, I think there's this evolution that we're seeing with mold toxins, mycotoxins, biotoxins, veterinary sorts, where they're growing on things that have all these other toxins that they're absorbing almost. That's what, you know, a mushroom grows on some sort of vitamin. That mushroom will be like a super host of that vitamin, like curcumin or something anti-inflammatory. So we know it's the same concept for mold toxin and mold spore. And so if it's going on like VOCs and fire retardants and all these other horrible chemicals that are all around the house, then it's creating these like super toxins, super biotoxins that our body, our immune system, just has no idea what to do with. Our DNA is just getting so influenced and affected by it. So
when you think about like modern building products, we've moved away from things like strictly using plywood to something called MDF, which is basically like chips of wood that are glued together with all kinds of chemicals.
Yes.
So mold growing on that is a very different type of mold and has abilities different than a mold that would grow on a strict wood product.
Right.
You know, like you're saying, it's a super toxin. It's it's developed in a way that it's either fed from something or it's grown in adverse conditions that makes it stronger.
Right.
So
I've seen this with detox for these people too, when you put the immune system, because whenever we try to get the immune system aware of these biotoxins, the immune system gets so sensitive. And it's because of those toxins. That's the root cause.
Yep.
It's not just the biotoxins, it's the super biotoxins that are harboring those.
Yeah, very important.
Yeah.
Back to the cleaning thing, I do want to mention, like, if you see mold on something, cleaning with bleach does not work.
No.
Bleach does not kill mold. In fact, it will probably do the opposite. What it does is it kills about 70% of the mold, leaving the internal root system of the mold, whatever it's growing on, intact. The mold that grows back is that super biotoxin.
Yes.
It's stronger and angrier than before. So bleach is not the option.
No, it's not.
There are very few things that will kill mold. If it's a non-porous surface, like a tile or something like that, hydrogen peroxide, ozone, those are basically your go-tos. Yes. If it is a porous material, basically you just need to remove it.
Yes.
Just get rid of it. Just cut it out and replace it.
Better to not even be in that vicinity.
Yeah, because you could try to clean it with hydrogen peroxide and it will kill mold, but you have to hydrogen peroxide and scrub.
Yes.
And then hydrogen peroxide and scrub until it
all.
Yeah. Over and over and over again to make sure you get it all.
Root system out. Wow.
Yeah.
That is a very important point, because whenever we have patients that we found the mold in, when we say first step is not to detox the mold. We need out of your body. Like, we need to get you out of this toxic environment. So we find a new place to live or go into a remediation that you can actually trust the process. Very hard to find.
Very
impossible.
Yes.
And so I've had that conversation so many over the past 7 years of practice, and it goes like this. Well, do I need to get rid of my furniture? Do I need to get rid of all my bedding, my mattress? Do I have to give up my pillow? And of course, anything that is porous is harboring that. Those root systems are there. So how can we make sure that we set them up for success? Oftentimes, they take the reach for the mold enzyme cleaners and hope that that's going to help to kill off the mold. Maybe for laundry, do you ever see that, like, the mold enzyme, if they run it through really hot laundry with, like, the mold enzyme cleaner at a really high dose, then maybe they can clear the mold in addition to ozone or anything like that.
So I think this is probably a deeper question.
Yeah.
I would like to get someone to the point where they can tolerate low doses of mold without reacting. So I would like their biological systems to be reinforced.
Resuming.
Because if you were in a place, so mold's everywhere.
Yes.
Like, you walk outside and there's mold spores floating in the air out there. The difference is outside it's in balance. Once you've been set off, you're much more reactive to mold. And so even possibly high levels of outdoor mold can affect you. So before I consider, like, ruining someone's life by, like, making them throw all their clothes away or anything like that, we really want to try to get their system to a point where they can tolerate low levels of mold.
I love it. I'm so glad you're talking about this.
Yeah. So, and this kind of goes back to one of our previous conversations. We want to look at heavy metals. We want to look at other sources of toxins. I mean, Epstein Barr. We want to look at Lyme. Because if, say, there's multiple, like, co-infections or co-toxins that we're dealing with, if you can get rid of all the other ones, mold, most likely the symptoms will be drastically reduced. And then we can detox it a lot better.
Yes.
So that's step one. This is where I would head with that. There are some cases where you're not going to have an issue. Like, if you live in a house with, like, a serious mold problem, like, sure, you could take your clothes, you could run with the enzyme cleaner and wash them super heavily with hot water, but, like, the mattress? The couches? You've got to leave it.
Right.
And that's hard.
It's too deep in there.
Yeah. What are you going to do? How are you going to pressure wash from the front door with enzyme clean? No. it just doesn't work. And so that's hard for people to hear, because, like, and this is kind of the issue with remediation too, because if you're going to do remediation the right way, it's very, very, very expensive.
Yes, it is.
Like, extremely expensive. It is often way more affordable to just sell the house or get out of your lease and go somewhere else.
Definitely.
Way more affordable.
Yeah.
So, Like if you're looking at a large scale mold issue, I would just leave.
Yes.
Just leave. Mm-hmm. It's not worth the trouble. So, you know, the Bible actually had a mold protocol.
Really?
Yeah.
Tell me more about this.
Yeah, so it's in Deuteronomy. Mm. It's in like all the list of like rules that God gave you. Yes. Some of the crazy ones about washing your hands and whatever.
Yeah.
But basically, and I'm paraphrasing, but basically it's like if a house has mold, you deconstruct it and scrub all the stones down really well. You build it back, you wait a week, you go back and look at it. And if it doesn't have mold, you're good. If it does have mold, you do it again, clean it again, and you reconstruct it, and you come back in a week, and if it has mold still, you burn it to the ground and move away.
I love it.
That's what the Bible said. And quite frankly, it kind of still applies today.
Yeah, it does. Just burn the place down.
Just burn it down.
Start fresh.
But I don't want to fear monger. Like, again, I want to get to a place with people who are on this health journey where they can tolerate it. That is, that's not to say if you're living in a place that's covered with mold, you'll ever be able to tolerate living in a complete mold-infested space.
Yeah.
Most likely you're not going to get there.
Yeah.
So really it's about aligning biology first, and then really you can kind of tolerate that level of mold.
Mm-hmm.
So it's all about order of operations. If you're in a space that's so bad, you got to get out of it first.
Right.
But if you're in a space that, like, you've had inspectors come, you've done air tests, you've done dust tests, that's really important.
Yes.
Dust test and EMRI.
EMRI.
Yeah, I'm slightly dyslexic.
It's one of those acronyms. Yeah. There are too many acronyms.
But doing one of those along with air testing and visual inspection, that's very important.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you have an expert come out and do those for you, and they're not finding anything, or they're finding a localized leak under the sink that you can just cut it out and replace.
Yes.
Then it's most likely something you need to work on biologically, not physically with the construction.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You just still need to remove it.
Yeah. I love it. Wow. This is such a great, I love how you're talking about the resilience. I resonate with that so much. That is so important, I think, to get the system healthy enough to where it's not so reactive, where it's not so sensitive. And I think it is that same way for the home. Like whenever we talk about the home, we need to not be sensitive to everything in the home or outside the home, anything, whenever you travel. It's just going to constantly follow you wherever you go, wherever you move to. Most likely that home, that house, that apartment, wherever you are, it could have had mold in the past. And so maybe in those low levels, even if there was a remediation done, so it'd still be resilience and turn it first.
And that's so important because a lot of mold practitioners will focus on the space.
Yes.
And yes, the space is important. We got to get you out. But we want to get you to the point of that resilience or else, like you said, when you travel, you aren't going to be able to live life.
Right.
You can't go anywhere. You can't go anywhere in Florida. Florida's out.
Yeah.
Or Hawaii.
Yeah.
You know? Right. You can't travel at all. Mm-hmm. It's no life to live.
No, it's not.
So really doing the work biologically is very important.
Yes. So important. And definitely the travel. Travel is like a huge passion of mine. And especially whenever you're traveling in Europe, if you rent a little Airbnb or a hotel or something, you're most likely going to experience it because these are buildings that are centuries old. I've sometimes stayed in places that are over 1,000 years old, and it's beautiful to get to see these like castles and these gorgeous like houses that are still standing. And then the problem is that you're still in the middle of potentially a moldy environment. But so far, I'm thankful. I have the resilience built up at this point, so I can enjoy life to the fullest, not be feeling like it, to still experience these things, and then know that my body knows how to get rid of it just as quickly. So that's what my wish, my hope, my say, my dream, prayers for each of our health practitioners and patients and clients is that they're able to get to that place of resilience.
I actually just got back from Europe.
Really?
And you know, some of the places we stayed in had visible mold.
Yes.
And previously, before a lot of the work I'd done, that would have wrecked me.
Mm-hmm.
But I went through a whole week and a half trip, and probably five of the days were in places that had mold.
Yes.
And I got a minor sinus infection that I cleared up in one day.
Wow.
That was the only effect I got. And of course, when I get home, everything gets stripped off.
Yeah.
All into the washer, sanitized mode, we're doing the whole thing. But I got to that point where I am resilient against it.
I love it.
Yeah, and that's...
It's possible.
You can do it.
Yes.
You very much can do it.
Oh.
Which actually brings up an interesting point since we're talking about buildings.
Yeah.
You know, you hear the headlines about sick buildings in Europe.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
What's interesting is a lot of people in Europe don't deal with mold illness, mm-hmm. the severity we do, because yes. of how old the buildings are.
Right.
So in the, and we all use it over the 60s, 70s, 80s, mm-hmm. we figured out we're going to change building science to make things really efficient.
Yes.
And when we made things more efficient for air conditioners, we closed off the airflow.
Yes.
And so this airflow is now, we're out of balance.
Mm-hmm.
And the mold can grow
yes.
and it's higher levels. Outside is imbalanced. There's still mold out there, but it's imbalanced. It's not affecting
you. Yes.
So a lot of these older structures, if they're hundreds of years old, if they're 100 plus years old, often they have so much airflow from outside yes. because it's so breathable that mold is not necessarily a huge issue.
I love it. And I can't help but say, that's what happens when we cover up our own breathing systems
yeah.
with putting things over our face, over our nose, and over our mouth. And preventing that proper airflow, that proper ventilation, that carbon dioxide oxygen exchange in the proper levels, breath work. This is one of the reasons why breath work is so important. And that's a homeostasis in our internal environment.
Well, if we keep going down that path, I mean, you're talking about resilience. You're talking about living in a place where you can fight off whatever comes with you, mm-hmm. to you. I mean, you get infected with, you know, some kind of infection, catch something while you're out and about or traveling.
Yeah.
If your biology is to the point where you've cleansed these toxins, your immune yeah. system's on point, it's going to be nothing.
Yeah.
90% exactly. of the things you're going to get aren't going to manifest anything.
Right.
And when it does manifest in something, it'll be like me, minor sinus infection, but yes. I cleared up in a day.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Your body just knows how to go ahead and dump out those biotoxins.
Yep.
Not harbor it. I yeah. love that.
So I think we should talk about VOCs too.
Yes, please. That is exactly what I was going to bring up next. VOCs and then the fire retardants and some of these other molecules and chemicals.
So before we go into VOCs, because I do like this topic, but mm-hmm. I want to touch on VOCs in terms of traveling, because mm-hmm. we're talking about traveling.
Yes.
So I'm going to give a few traveling hacks here.
Okay.
When I travel, I avoid Airbnb at all costs.
Yes.
Airbnbs are terrible. They have no standardized cleaning protocols.
That's true.
There are no protocols for cleanliness. There are no protocols for how much mm-hmm. disarray can be, how
yeah.
bad the construction is.
Right.
You never know what you're going to get. So I try to avoid
so
them,
true.
If at all possible.
Okay.
I stick to hotels.
Yes.
So hotels, yes, they can be moldy,
mm-hmm.
but they are generally limited in how moldy they are because it's usually, hey, it's in the AC system or there's a little around the shower.
Right.
In Airbnb, it could be much worse.
Yes.
It could be in the walls
yeah.
of the everywhere.
All of the walls.
So there's kind of a cap
mm-hmm.
because if it's bad in a hotel, they
yes.
rip it all apart and they fix it.
Right. Yeah.
So there's a limit on hotels. So
mm-hmm.
when I look for hotels, I want to look for ones that are either ancient,
mm-hmm. yes.
like hundreds of years old,
yeah.
or relatively new.
Right.
When I say relatively new, the sweet spot is like 2 or 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
Because at 2 or 3 years, they're still very clean.
Yes.
And most likely they don't have a mold issue.
Mm-hmm.
But the VOCs have off-gassed. Because when they're building these hotels, they use a lot of cheap crap products
yes.
and just throw them in there.
Mm-hmm.
And you know when you walk into a new hotel, you're
yes.
like, oh, smells like chemicals.
Yes.
So if you find one that's like 2 to 3 years old, that's the sweet one.
Not
for
us.
Hotels. Yeah.
Not too new.
Yeah, you don't want to walk into a brand new hotel.
Right.
You'll smell it. You'll feel
oh,
it.
Oh, definitely.
You'll feel it. So that's kind
yeah.
of one of my travel.
That's good.
Travel
that's
bags.
A great travel.
I always look for that 2 to 3 year old.
Yeah, I'm definitely one of those people that chase the ancient hotels.
Yeah, yeah.
Like the ones that have been standing for a long time, or the like old castles and palaces where
yeah.
you can stay in like one of those small little quarters that are a part of it, one of the rooms.
Yeah.
And get the experience. It's so magical to get to see and feel like so much energy from so many past beings
mm-hmm.
that have watched that and felt that and been there before. And really, you know, that's by that point they have had the practices of clearing out the bad mycotoxins
mm-hmm.
and mold so many times over. Nature itself has probably purified it because
yeah.
it's so open to that whole system.
You're so much more wholesome than I am. I like a new hotel when I'm traveling.
Experience.
Yes. I'm just like, give me that nice hotel with the people that are ready to help me, and that's my vibe.
Let's just stay in one, stay in another. Like, they're the same.
It's the place I'm visiting, not the actual. So VOCs.
Yes.
You know, the easiest hack here
mm-hmm.
is, you know, a lot of construction materials now are cognizant of this. So
mm-hmm.
there are low VOC rated everything.
Yes.
There's LVP flooring,
mm-hmm.
which is the most popular type
yes.
of flooring nowadays. Those low VOC ratings, they will just stamp on.
Mm-hmm.
Getting a higher end product will help. If you're
yes.
buying a cheap crap product,
right.
if it's the cheapest thing you can find, probably it's probably full of VOCs.
Sure.
So getting something that's, you know, says low VOC mm-hmm. is important. A yes. certification is even better.
Yeah.
Even better than that, if you can get a certified low VOC product from Europe, mm-hmm. that's even better because they have mm-hmm. higher manufacturing standards yes. as to what's allowed.
Oh,
yeah. So that. My cabinets that I got are set up for my house that I just finished building are low VOC from mm-hmm. Europe. They're European style, so they're in a flat face.
Nice.
But they're actually made with zero wood.
Wow.
And yeah, so it's an interesting okay. material, and it's 100% waterproof.
That's amazing.
So if it leaks,
waterproof.
I don't have a problem.
Right.
I can literally fix the leak,
wow.
wipe it up, and we're good.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay, you might have to mm-hmm. send me some links and some resources for this.
Yeah.
And I'll make sure to mm-hmm. share it with our audience.
Yeah, so cabinets are probably one of the biggest ones. You think about things that have the biggest surface area.
Yes.
Cabinets of flooring.
Right.
Those are the things that are going to get you the highest with the VOCs.
Yeah.
That and paint.
Mm.
So paint's important.
Yeah.
But they make paint nowadays. You would not believe this. Mm-hmm. Sherwin-Williams has a line of paint that actually eats VOCs. Not only is it low VOC, but it has this technology that like pulls it out of the air.
Wow.
Yep.
What is it made of? Like, what are the molecules? We'll have to look
into
this.
I'd have to look into the molecules. Yeah. So it's called their like air purifying technology.
Yeah.
And it's only on their like one line. I don't have that. It's very interesting stuff.
I love
so I put
going
that
down
in
rabbit holes of organic industry yeah. just to understand more. So we'll have to look into this detail.
Yeah.
That's incredible. Okay, well then we'll definitely have to share that link too.
Yeah.
We'll be building out some resources, links to all of these things that we're referencing,
mm-hmm.
and then also to the resource schedules consultations.
Yeah.
That is one thing that I believe everyone who is building a new home or who is doing their own home improvements, they should look forward to someone who is a consultant that has done the research, gone down the rabbit trails for them, and found the right products to work with, the right industry itself, that it's industry standards, and you know those industry mm-hmm. standards from being a construction firm before.
Yeah.
And so that's great.
And this is just scratching the surface.
Yes.
Like this is very introductory.
Yeah.
Building science goes so deep.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there is like, we could get down to floor coverings, and there are 20 different types.
Yeah.
You have your LVP, you've got your wood, you've got stains that you can put on your concrete, you've got
mm-hmm.
carpet. On and on and on. They have variations of each of those. Carpets made out of different things.
Yeah.
So this is a very introductory conversation, but mm-hmm. again, on flooring, you want to focus on a hard surface.
Yes.
You don't want carpet.
Mm-hmm.
You really don't want hard carpet anywhere in your house. If you do want that carpet feel, get a rug.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Get an OKEOTEC certified rug or Green Door or something
mm-hmm.
like that, certification.
Yeah.
I'm docked it.
Yes.
And clean it very well,
mm-hmm.
and after a few years, throw away and get a new one.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree completely.
Just roll it up and get a new one.
That's right. Everything that we have in our clinic space, in my own home and everything, it's all organic rugs.
Mm-hmm.
And that's very important to us, that we keep our patients and clients coming. They have their shoes off immediately, so they're not tracking in all the toxins or the chemicals into the house, into the home, or into the clinic space. And that's something else that we can think about, is like, how are all these toxins transported into the home? So there are so many ways that, like we were just talking about earlier, is don't live on a golf course if you can help it, because the amount of organophosphates and all the fertilizers, chemicals, toxins, pesticides, herbicides that are sprayed, obviously, are so much worse in a city, on a golf course, near a park, anything that's beautiful and pristine, it's probably been sprayed.
Yeah, another one is your garage.
Oh, yes.
Garages are bad for toxins. So,
yeah.
I mean, if you
it's
think
close.
About it, yeah. So you're going to take a hunk of heated metal, oil, gasoline, and other fluids,
yes,
tires, rubber,
mm-hmm.
and go park it in the garage and shut it.
Yes.
And then that's attached to your house.
Right.
It's breathing that whether
it
you
is.
Think it is or not.
Yeah.
There's a few things you could do, but
mm-hmm.
the best is just to have a detached garage.
Yes.
Breezeway.
Right.
Have a detached, you just walk right
yes.
out of the house.
That's
problems.
What I
have.
I
yeah.
do, and I keep one of the doors open, and then I have a window that's like an internal window space to another breezeway.
Mm-hmm.
And so thankfully, that's a cross breeze through. And then with my car, that's one thing I do not start it ahead of time. Say in the wintertime, you know how you have
mm-hmm.
your app and you can like start your car
yeah.
up to warm it up. I love the cryotherapy of the morning time. I like to get in my car
yeah.
and have it really cold for the first 5 minutes, and I don't mind. But I need to warm up in it or sit in it for a moment and like pull it out into the air. it has like a space that it can be aired out while it's finishing warming up before mm-hmm. looking on the highway. And that is, I think, something that we need to wrap our minds around, so the luxury that we might feel or experience in today's age might be creating so many other layers of pop elements.
Well, and the smallest thing you could possibly do that would have a big difference with the garage is when you get home and you roll your car into the garage, mm-hmm. just leave the door open for 10, yes. 15, 30 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
It'll air out a lot of those toxins.
Yes.
It's no effort, zero yes. effort. Just go close in 30 minutes.
Yes. And then don't store things in the garage that are porous, because that is another thing I think many people do is they have so much of just like their old keepsakes and antiques and whatever else, just like boxes of just miscellaneous items, books.
Garage is like for outdoor stuff. Anything that goes in your garage is for taking care of the lawn or things that get stored outside. If you're going to store stuff airtight containers in a different area, that's
yes.
the way to go.
Yes. I love it. This is great. Okay, I have a very interesting curveball question for you. So your history in construction, and then you told us that you had a health crisis shortly after that. Do you feel like the toxins that you were surrounded by during that time may have played a role in your toxic burden bucket feeling through the threshold where you had the health concerns and symptoms? What's that journey like?
Oh, 100%. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I definitely felt like that. I mean, the work I was doing was in the construction industry. Mm-hmm. And I was not cognizant of all these things back when I was doing that. Mm-hmm. And I was in places that were moldy.
Mm-hmm.
I was in a house that was moldy. I was in multiple houses that were moldy for that matter.
Yes.
Renovated my college home mm-hmm. and I lived in it. And I remember the mold on the walls.
Mm-hmm.
And I bleached it and painted it. Yeah, so bad. Wow. So bad.
That's about the journey to help other people in the future.
Yeah, and from that's kind of where I can start to see a lot of the symptoms that I was dealing with
mm-hmm.
did come out of situations like that.
Yeah.
Yes, heavy metals were kind of the root of it for me, but the mold that I was accumulating still playing a huge, yeah. huge part of that.
Of course.
So especially the fatigue.
Yes.
You know, the chronic fatigue with me was real.
It's so real. The mold just grows into
and gut
the
issues.
Brain.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The gut issues and the chronic fatigue. I mean, I moved into that house in college, and within probably 6 months, I was like in classes like
mm-hmm. yes.
nodding off. I was like, what's going on here? Couldn't figure it out. So it definitely played a part.
Absolutely.
And I got to the point where I'd like walk into a house that was being painted. And within seconds, I would have a headache. I mean, seconds. I would look, oh, I can't.
Multiple chemical sensitivities, your liver couldn't keep up.
Yep.
Yeah.
So it definitely played a part.
And I think about all of the college kids that get there, they're so excited, and they go into these dorm rooms, and 99% of the dorm rooms out there have mold in them. That's highly unfortunate, and we don't have enough regulations on how protect these kids going into service.
Don't even get me started on school systems. You might need to edit this out, but the schools we send our kids to are so toxic. I mean, so I'm working with a client who, she is an art teacher, and she's working in a place for visible moldings, and they gave her art drainage sinks with a open bottom sink to a floor drain that just kind of is there. And it is literally just growing mold all over it.
Oh my gosh.
And we're talking roof leaks, water damage. I mean, you can walk in 99% of schools and just see mold just cruising. What is that doing to our kids' academic abilities? What is it doing to their long-term health?
Yes.
Where are the regulations around that?
Exactly. And these poor teachers that are just trying so much, so hard to give, not making nearly enough for their
expenses. Yeah. It's I mean, we should, if you think about protecting anyone, we should protect our children.
Yes, definitely.
They're our future.
Yes.
Right?
And their little defense systems are not strong enough to withstand it. Their resilience hasn't been trained yet.
Mm-hmm.
Their body is still trying to figure out how to even process the little virus that they get. So they get sick so frequently. Their immune system is getting upgraded. But whenever they're just bombarded by all these toxins, these mold toxins, all these other chemicals and heavy metals and everything else, their bodies just are not able to.
Well, and that's a lot of the behavioral issues.
Yeah. Yes.
But not necessarily coming from psychological trauma or just them acting up. Maybe it's their body responding to a threat in their environment.
That's exactly
Maybe they don't have a choice. Yes. Maybe they're not trying to be a bad kid.
Exactly.
Maybe their school's moldy.
Yes.
And they feel like they're under attack.
That's exactly. That resonates so much. Absolutely. And just the simplest little thing, just helping their bodies to process some of that out, just getting it out of their system or getting them out of that environment that is so toxic to them, can be all that they need to just unlock their personality and to release like who it is that they actually are,
yeah.
So that they have a chance to shoot for the stars and to be the best version of themselves. That self-confidence, we'll see that come back whenever they just start getting this lightest little change in their health. It's so beautiful.
That is the beauty of kids' health, though, is they rebound
much
better than adults do.
Yes.
So although they are affected pretty profoundly, you can get children back to a point where they will feel 100%.
Yes.
Whereas sometimes when you live with these toxicities for years and you're an adult, maybe all you're ever going to get back to is 85.
Yes.
Or 90.
Yeah.
You'll never be 100.
Right.
And I'm not saying that's a bad thing. But like, I don't feel as well as I did when I was a kid.
Yes.
I feel much better than I did in college and in high school. But when I was a kid, I felt amazing.
Yeah.
So I might never get back to that, that 100%, but you know, I'm 85.
Yeah.
So kids do bounce back.
Yes, they do.
And
there's so many types of detoxification things that we can use for kids because their bodies are so ready to process out toxins. They are very active, vessel helps. So they're moving, their systems are ready to release, and then they just need the right types of nutrients, the information in their systems, the right types of therapies, and they can so easily release those toxins. And their brains are very resilient. So one thing that we love to do with them is after we put them through the detoxification process, skip off of that, we love to do neurotherapy on them so that they were able to encourage neuroplastic lining of them. So we actually give them exercises particular for different neural pathways, different types of lobes of the brain or cranial nerves in the brain, so that we can encourage those neural connections. And we see them make reactions 10 times faster than adults because their brains are constantly rapidly trying to form those connections anyway. We're just encouraging that.
I love that. Yeah, that's great.
Wow. And let's talk one more thing about the home. Whenever we think about mold toxicity or environmental toxins in the home, every single person in the family is getting affected. It's not just the both of the adults that are in the home, it's not just the kids also, it's also those fur babies. The pets in the home are also getting affected. And those are the ones that are spending the most time at home. They're locked up in the house. And so whenever we talk about a family practice, we're helping to detox everyone, helping to get everyone, support everyone in their clearing of the protocols or detoxification of drainage protocols or fire protocols. We have to think about how do we create a protocol for each member of the family, including the kids, including those infants, the toddlers, wherever they are in their state of life, and including those pets.
Oh, my wife's going to love that. she's going to be all over that. But that's actually a really good point. The other day I heard a story about, and we haven't touched on this, but EMFs. And that's another rabbit hole.
Yes, it is. Another podcast episode for that one.
But it was actually his dog. He had like 3 dogs in a row that died. Like young. Like
yes.
2 or 3 years old. Just died from like weird diseases. Could not figure it out. So he had a building biologist come out, and it was where the pet's bed was located was like the main electrical wiring system of the house. He was just getting bombarded with EMFs.
Yes.
He got another dog, moved the bed across the house, and that dog was healthier than that.
Tragic. We've seen that in kids too.
Yeah.
Their baby beds, wherever they are, wherever the kids are spending their time, their heads are like right next to huge amounts of EMFs pouring in.
Yep.
It's so bad.
Yeah, so EMFs are another thing to be careful with. I didn't do the whole house because it's expensive, but I actually got primer, EMF blocking primer for my house.
Oh, wow.
I did it on a specific area. So I did my headboard wall in my master to protect from the wiring and all those outlets there. So I have a power line, it's not a big one, a small power line, and a line. So the exterior of the house, where I'm at face.
Yes.
And then we have a room that's going to be the nursery. When we have a kid, that's where the baby's going to be. I did that entire room.
Yes.
The whole thing. It's 100% sealed. Baby. Yep. Yep.
I love that. Wow. Okay. So that's definitely going to have to be on this list of resources.
Yeah.
This is cool. I'm so thankful we've talked about this. And I'm so excited for more conversations, more episodes with you, because you are a wealth of knowledge.
Well, thank you.
You're a detailed researcher, and I can tell from on so many deep dives, and you definitely have honed in your talents and your gifts that you're sharing with the world. And I'm so grateful for you walking this health journey and being inspired, because you really do have a world.
Thank you so much.
Thanks
for having me.
Yes.
Thank you for tuning into this episode of the Resonant Life Podcast. I hope you found our discussion insightful and empowering. Before wrapping up, I want to invite you to explore our resources available through Resonance Wellness. Visit our website to access a wealth of free content, including downloadable guides, insightful articles, and practical tools designed to support your health journey. We also offer a variety of programs and courses that delve deeper into functional medicine, providing you with personalized strategies and expert guidance. If you are interested in learning how to integrate these insights into your own life, I encourage you to book a discovery call with me. Together, we will explore how functional medicine can help you achieve your wellness goals and live a life of optimal wellness. Visit drlaylaDoolittle.com to download your free resources and schedule your call. I look forward to connecting with you and helping you on your journey to a more resonant and fulfilling life. Until next time, I'm Dr. Layla Doolittle, wishing you a day filled with resonance and vibrant well-being. See you in the next episode.